Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here delivering your Penn State football fix. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're talking about the Citrus Bowl for starters here, the Penn State-Kentucky matchup. And looking at more from Penn State's offense against this good Kentucky defense from that vantage point, well, I'm sure we'll do the opposite coming up in the next week. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic joins us to talk about bowl season and the Citrus Bowl and anything else Penn State related, including National Signing Day coming up in just a couple weeks. We will get to your questions on Ask Greg coming up a little bit later, and we're going to talk about recruiting in the sense of what Penn State's got to do left in 2019, what developments we might see leading up to the early signing period on December 19th. And yeah, looking forward to that. It kind of sneaks up on you, Greg.
It does.
So that signing period, it's the second year that that's in effect. So obviously the Penn State coaching staff having to juggle that as they're juggling bowl prep as well. You saw them out on the road quite a bit this past weekend. We'll get to that. Let's talk Citrus Bowl. And, you know, we discussed this bowl game a little bit, not really from the vantage point of is there disappointment about not being in a New Year's Six game. What does that designation mean when you've got a top 15 versus top 15 matchup against an SEC team? Who cares?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. When I finally cleared the decks yesterday with all the bowl Sunday, when all the bowl stuff, went out to get something to eat and had someone stop and ask, why do they call the New Year's Six game the New Year's Six game when it's played on December 29th? And then the Citrus Bowl, which is played on January 1st, is not a part of the New Year's Six Bowl. And I don't have a great answer for that. Other than they keep moving around the semifinal and major name bowl games to appease TV and also work with the calendar. So, disappointment, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any great difference between the Peach Bowl and the Citrus Bowl. Sure, there is to a small degree in terms of...
It's just what kind of fruit you like, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it would have netted James Franklin $100,000 more dollars. The players probably would have got some extended gifts in the suite that they always go gift suite they always go to. But other than that, and the opponent probably would have been a little bit more marquee. But other than that, I don't think it's a huge difference. And again, we'll put Penn State in front of a national audience at 1 p.m. on a day off work for most people, depending on what they do. So I think it's certainly not the end of the world for Penn State to be going to the Citrus Bowl. I think three straight years of the Peach Bowl would have been a New Year's Six Bowl, if it was the Peach Bowl, would have been a nice thing to hang their hat on. But like I said, I don't think that it's, you know, anything to really, you know, look too deeply into and try and find disappointment, all things considered.
So, yeah, this is a Kentucky team that defensively is very good and really hung their hat on that and a sound running game. It's a formula that Penn State has faced multiple times this year, and they've largely come up pretty successful in those games. So I want to look at it from Penn State's offensive perspective. You know, what do we want to see from the offense? You know about the themes. You know about some of the inconsistencies or the struggles. What do you want to see to feel good about Penn State closing this game offensively on a good note, closing the season?
Well, I think first things first, you know, as we look ahead to the Citrus Bowl, you're going to have a lot of people that want to talk about how much time Tommy Stevens should get in this game and whether Penn State should use this as a passing of the torch. And I've already seen some speculation and received some ideas from people that they think Trace McSorley should play the first half, Tommy Stevens the second half, sort of game plan it, you know, a tale of two halves almost. I just don't think that's going to be what happens in it. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or otherwise, but I do think that Penn State's going to let Trace McSorley ride out into the sunset, or if Penn State's losing, then they're going to let him try and mount a comeback as he has so many times for the Nittany Lions. So for anyone thinking that Penn State might, you know, move things around or do things to you know, prioritize the future and Tommy Stevens, I don't think that's going to be the case. But for the offense, I would like to see Trace be healthy, which I think this long break should allow for. would like to see, you know, Ricky Ronnie become a little bit more like he was in last year's bowl game, where he just pressed every right button in that game, which isn't to say he never pressed all the right buttons in the game this season, but they certainly felt few and far between. So would certainly like to see that, and like to see the offensive line do some pushing around, whether Josh Allen, the star Kentucky defensive end slash linebacker, plays or not. I mean, I think we've seen this group, again, much like Ricky Ronnie, at times it has really dominated, and at times it really hasn't. So we'd like to see how that plays out as well, and really like to see them push around an opponent in the final game of the year.
And, yeah, I think the play calling will be an interesting thing here. Tommy Stevens, correct me if I'm wrong, like, I'm not really pushing or that concerned about him getting – a ton of game reps in this regard. Like, I would like to see him play more of a traditional quarterback role, but ultimately you've seen a lot of programs across the country keep their number two quarterback involved for selfish reasons to keep them from wanting to transfer, but also, you know, just getting a taste of game speed, game action, lining up against an opposing defense who's trying to diagnose what you're doing. I think he's gotten, you know, that toe in the water should be enough, I think, for next year. I don't know that we need to see a full half of Tommy Stevens in action to believe that he can do the job next year. I think he can. I also think you're not going to see it at all. You're not, you know, this is Trace McSorley's last game, and he's a competitor. He's not going to want to sit for 30 minutes out of this game. They're not going to shove long-term program goals aside, as meaningless or as meaningful as you want to make a bowl game. Penn State's going to compete from minute one to minute 60. And Trace McSorley's going to want to compete from minute one to minute 60. You're not going to see Tommy Stevens in any kind of role except the way we've already seen him this year.
Exactly right, Dustin. That's exactly right. So we will obviously see what happens come bowl day. And, you know, if Trace McSorley would unfortunately get hurt, kind of like Christian Hackenberg did, that would change things. But, yeah, I mostly agree with you. I think that this is one of those things where how the fans might view a game and how it's viewed internally are two entirely different things, even though they both usually have views that align more often than not. I think this is a case where that's not really that. That might not be the case.
I think sometimes more cynical fans view bowl games, if you're not in the college football playoff, as an exhibition. And I don't think they view it as an exhibition at all. I think they view it as the culmination of everything that they worked really hard to do all year. It's one final opportunity, and I don't think they're going to squander an opportunity. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, where we squander no opportunities either, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Got to keep them in the front of your mind going into the 2019 season, looking ahead a little bit to spring. Check out GoPSURV.com. They have the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, a huge tailgating lot, projection TV, Wi-Fi, all kinds of good things going on, good food, good drink. It's an excellent alternative way to spend a weekend outside of a hotel room in Happy Valley for a football game. Keep in mind for 2019, and stay tuned to what they're doing before the start of the football season. Looking at the Penn State-Kentucky matchup in the Citrus Bowl from Penn State's offense's perspective, let's just say Josh Allen, Kentucky's star pass rusher, who's got 14 sacks this year. Let's just – for perspective there, that's double Sharif Miller. This is a kid who – I don't know if he's top half of the first round, but he looks like a pretty surefire first-round draft pick. I think top half of the first round. It'll be interesting to see in the coming days and weeks whether he ends up playing or not, because he's got a lot to lose.
Right.
Let's just say he plays. What does Penn State do schematically and from a strategic perspective, how to try to keep him in control? I mean, obviously some zone read stuff in that direction. You know, you put a tight end that's on that side of the field, you chip him a little bit. You have to account for him,
right,
is the bottom line.
There's no question. Yeah, I mean, I think that at this point, Penn State started practice sort of. I mean, they got back together last on bowl announcement, you know, quote unquote selection Sunday, and had a practice, but they really, I don't think, will start hitting the pads hard until maybe next week, the middle of next week, or at the very latest, the Sunday that follows that. So I think there's still time for these guys that if they aren't going to play in the game, they'll make that announcement out. They'll put that out there. But, yeah, I'm not sure. It's a good question. I have not heard any rumblings to think that Penn State will have anybody not play in this game, but you just never know. There's a lot of conversations that need to be had. Obviously, the coaching staff is very busy going out on the road recruiting, so it's not like there's tons of time for them to sit down and really – I mean, obviously, they would if Sharif or anybody came to them and said, hey, let's discuss this and let's do it now. But it's tough this time of year because everyone's out recruiting most of the week. When they get back, they might have some kids on campus to visit. They might just want to spend time with family. So it's a, as James Franklin said Sunday, it's a balancing act and a juggling act this time of year to really keep everything in order. But I've not heard any rumblings to that effect yet, but we'll have to see what happens on game day.
Kentucky's got the number 8 scoring defense in the country, 16.3 points per game, number 17 against the pass, number 22 total defense, number 49 against the run. And let's talk about that running component because I think, you know, Josh Allen or no Josh Allen, or whether you want to use it as a ploy to keep him at bay, Trace McSorley has got to pose a threat with his legs. I think that can be said for almost any game that Penn State plays. It's not just about the yardage he gains. I think it's just about how opponents have to respect that. And it makes their whole offense better whenever he's really firing away. And that's one of the things that they've missed as he's not been 100% over these weeks, especially against Michigan. Right. If he's not running, you lose a certain piece of the Penn State offensive identity. You like the fact that there's a few weeks in between that he's able to get back to full health, presumably, and pose a threat. And then guys like Miles Sanders, and I'm curious to see if Ricky Slade, if Maryland was just the start of something, you know, 64 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game, do they go back to that well against Kentucky?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that for Penn State, you know, for them to go back to that well, it would certainly make sense for them to do so. But that's the one interesting wrinkle about bowl games and the long time you have to get ready for them is that, you know, what do you decide to do? Do you decide to get a lot creative and really put in some stuff that you had in, you know, your mind or in the playbook, but never really put it into the game plan earlier in the year? Or do you stick to your meat and potatoes and just believe that that's the best way to do it? And you might throw a wrinkle or two here and there, but for the most part, it's not things that aren't on tape before. That's always the million-dollar question when you're trying to figure out who's going to win bowl games and who's going to come out on top. And it's a conversation, a discussion Penn State will have and make those calls, obviously, over the next few weeks here as they get into Kentucky's personnel and see how they can attack them.
New wrinkles without losing your identity, I think is the name of the game. Do you suspect, about 30 seconds here, do you suspect that this is the last we'll see of Miles Sanders for his career?
If I was forced to make a pick, I would think that, yeah, he leaves for the NFL early and this is his last game at Penn State. If you made me put a percentage on that, I would say, 60-40 is where I'm at that at this point. Yeah, 60-40 that he does leave after this game.
I'm saying 66-34, maybe 68-32. I don't know. I think it's going to be Miles Sanders' last game. Nothing else to prove. The Ricky Slade show begins coming up. We're going to talk recruiting, looking ahead to early signing period coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.